There's a Tesis in Menachos on Chaf Aleph from a Beis. Take two. There's a Tesis in Menachos on Chaf Aleph from a Beis where Tosfos says something that is a chidush in Hilchos Shkalim, which is not our topic for tonight, where Tosfos says that those who were part of Kriyas Yamsuf automatically had a chiyuv of shekel, while Tosfos says that those who were counted later on, they participated in giving the Adonim to the Mishkan. It's not the Pashtus of the Gemara in Shkolim on Gimel on the Beis, the Yushalmi. But what I want to take out from that statement of Tosfos is what the Shem Yishmuel says in explaining the relationship between the Shkolim and Kriyas Yamsuf. Says the Shem Yishmuel, page Samach Vav in Parshas Mishpatim. V'hine bayom omru, rosa shivchol alayom mashalo roh anevim. There's a very dramatic chazal that says that what a shivcha saw at the yam was greater than what Yechezkel ben Buzi had seen in his life. V'atam, shanevim lo kiblu nevuasam el kimichsas hachanosam. Every navi attained a darga based on what he had achieved. Avla yam, but when it came to Kriyas Yamsuf, lo ba mi pas hachanosam, it didn't come due to their preparation. And listen to these words. Ela shenishpa aleim min hashamayim kiblu kulam b'shoveh. What we saw at Kriyas Yamsuf was the exact same thing. Everybody saw the exact same thing. And maybe we do 10-minute chassidus when we get to Truma, Tetzava, we'll discuss a little bit the relationship between Shekel and Adonim. But all we need to know is the Shekel, every single person gave a Shekel. Says the Shem Yishmuel, the Pshat in Tosfos is that everybody gave a Shekel if they were part of Kriyas Yamsuf, because Kriyas Yamsuf and Shekel is democratic. Everybody has the exact same shekel, had the exact same vision at Kriyas Yamsuf. Tov. Start off with a Chassidus Shavart, a beautiful Chassidus Shavart. This Chassidus Yisod, that everybody's the same, is the basis in understanding one of the most powerful Musarim that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal gave in terms of understanding Kriyas Yamsuf. You know, to say that everybody was exactly the same is actually quite hard to understand. What does it mean that everybody was exactly the same? I had a classmate in 8th grade who was he was a sharp kid. And we had a difficult teacher. And we made a little bit of trouble. I see the wastebasket in the corner. So my friend got up, he sat towards the back, and he aimed towards that wastebasket in the middle of class, and he came up short. So the teacher, who was not a good teacher, said to him, "Short just like you." And my friend picked up went to the wastebasket where he missed, and he picked it up, he banked it off the wall, and he said, "Off the wall just like you." So some people are short, some people are off the wall. Everybody is different. Everybody is different. Says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, a very famous question. The Shifcha and Klal Yisrael that witness HaKadosh Baruch Hu in higher madrigas than Yechezkel ben Buzi, short time later, sin at the Egel Azav. How could that possibly be? Says Reb Chaim Yisod, Gadol Musar. He says, I'll say it the way he said it, and then I'll explain. Val der Shivcha is gebleibt der Shivcha, because the Shivcha that witnessed these high and tremendous madrigas, she remained a Shivcha. The darga she was at before, the state she was at before, the state that she was at after, was exactly the same. There's some special mechanchim here in this room, and one of the greatest enigma and challenges that every mechanich has is you could have two boys in the same shir, and yes, every human being is different. Every person comes with a different background and a different personality, but it's a challenge to us, and it will be constantly an enigma to us. That every once in a while you have two boys, learn together, they're friends,
and 5 years later, spiritually, they're in different worlds. How did it happen? They weren't so far apart when they were 19 years old. Two boys go through, and this is my favorite expression, the Israel experience. They end up in different places. Rabbosai, tonight I want to discuss two extremely important components. So important for us who this year are going through tremendous spiritual experiences, tremendous aliyas and ruchnias, to make sure that those experiences last. The first one, I'll use a fancy psychological English word, is contextualization. Continues Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz. The first maimer was in Shnas Lamed Gimel Maimer Yudalid. In Shnas Lamed Aleph Maimer Chav Zayin, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, I'll give you a personality that was endowed with tremendous gifts of Ruchnius that God decided to give him for whatever reason, and he did absolutely nothing with it. And that is Bilam. And Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says, Bilam never took the gifts that God gave him and decide what direction he was going to use those high and special experiences of Nevuah. And that means that you could be by tremendous Rabbeim, have tremendous hezgailus, tremendous revelations and understandings, and yet at the same time, in a short while, fall back to the exact same place you were once before because you didn't have a direction of how you're going to use those experiences to change in a lasting way who we are. Now, direction doesn't have to be rigid. I saw a clip. Yankel Miller is a famous Hasidic comedian, what they call a batchen. He was saying batchon is for Reb Chaim Kanievsky. Reb Chaim Kanievsky was on the floor with this. So he said, you could watch it on YouTube if you like. It's not an endorsement for anybody to watch on YouTube per se, but you need the right filters. Anyhow, so he said to Reb Chaim Kanievsky, you know how when a Yeki gives directions, he says he's very particular. He says you go straight, and then you turn right, and then over there at the store you make a left, and then you go straight. Not like the Israelis, you say straight, and then ask at the first place that you could ask. No, they give you the exact directions. So Yankel Miller says, and after he finishes, he goes back in the exact same direction and puts his hand back into his pocket. There's a certain rigidity that some people have. There's certain people that that's extreme. I'm not talking about that you need to know the answer to every single question or how you're going to use every single one of the experiences, but at the end of the day, every single one of us need to ask how the experiences and the skills that I have right now are going to be things that I'm going to be using in the next 5 to 7 years. Contextualization means that when a person sees something, they're able to internalize how they're supposed to perceive that exact experience. My great Rebbe from Tarvadas, Rabbi Reisman, likes to point out very, very simply, you could have two people getting off in Ben-Gurion Airport, arrive in Eretz Yisrael, and you could see two totally different things. One person looks up and he sees the H. Stern jewelry advertisement, and that's what he sees when he arrives to Eretz Yisrael. And another person notices the Bnei Torah, Bnei Aliyah, acting with Midos, and davening by the baggage claim 5 minutes before Shkia. What do you see? How do you contextualize your experience? How do you contextualize everything that you've gone through? And Rabbosai, that's a question that you have to ask yourselves. What is the exact direction I'm going to use the experiences for? And what am I going to focus on? Every single part of our experience could be perceived in two different ways. Number two. Rav Tzadok HaKohen takes this idea, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz, and he hones into it with another beautiful Hasidish Yisod in a very fascinating way. Rav Tzadok HaKohen writes this in Resisei Loila, page 118. He says the following. He mamish picks up on the Yisod of Musar and he says in the Hasidish way, Ubekriyas Yamsuf Nizgale Derech Re'ia. How do we quote the Maimar Chazal? Masheroa Shivcha Bayam. What the Shivcha Bayam saw. Says Rav Tzadok, Kriyas Yamsuf was about seeing. Torah we don't hold on to by simply seeing. He quotes his Rabbeim. Ukemoshe shamati de matan Torah hu bekinyan. It's the mashmos of the Mishnah Navos as well. The way in which a person holds on to Torah is not enough with seeing. The Gemara in the beginning of Bava Metzia says Re'iyah is not kona. It's not enough for a person to simply see. And then Rav Tzadok adds a very fascinating point. He says, quoting a Rokeach, Nishka osa cheshe ki hu riyav levad v'tzarech lachzor ul'oro ad sheyavo lios kinyan belev. The only way in which an experience that you see and you have a tremendous hizgailus is going to last is if you do chazara. It's the key for learning, the appropriate preparation, and the appropriate review. And that means everything great that you see here in Arzeinu Akdosha, if it's going to last, you're going to have to prepare for it properly, and you're going to have to review it properly. When it comes to a Torah idea, that means one thing. And when it comes to going to a Chassidus Shetish, or hearing an idea from a Gadol B'Torah, that means something else. I'll never forget that there was a boy who was younger than me, who was such a powerful Musar. Rav Shechter was giving a talk on Shalosh Shudas, and he had just started learning, a very, very bright boy, maybe Rav Zinke remembers who he is, and he turned to me right after the Shalosh Shudas drasha, and he said to me, let's chazer, let's review. He wanted to make sure he didn't lose a word. Those are the people who hold on to Torah. Those who have the persistence to review and also to prepare for those experiences. You know, people make a mistake. And Rav Moshe Feinstein was very, very insulted about this. Rav Moshe Feinstein was very insulted that people were more into his Sefer Igros Moshe than Dibros Moshe. If I'm not mistaken, he said, people don't realize that I put more work into my Svarim on Shas called Dibros Moshe than Igros Moshe. I just got off the phone a short while ago. I spoke to somebody about putting on my Sefer. And he said to me, he thought he heard what I said. And then he said, oh, it's on Iyun. Not interested in Iyun. I thought you said it was a Sefer on Halacha. Nowadays, everybody wants bottom line Halacha. It's true. Halacha Svarim sell. Iyun Svarim don't sell anymore. Ramesha was so hurt. This goes back even to Ramesha's days. People weren't interested in the Sefer Dibro as much in Sefer Dibro as Moshe. Why was Ramosha hurt? Simply because those were the Sfarim that didn't sell? It was more than that. It was because I think Ramosha felt that people weren't understanding the amount of preparation that was necessary in terms of learning how to learn that went into the Sefer Igros Moshe. That went into the Igros Moshe. The Dibros Moshe was a preparation for the Sefer Igros Moshe. How much preparation was necessary? The Sefer Dibros Moshe is a hachana, was a preparation for his excellence in Igros Moshe. Rav Belsky, who's a posik in the OU, once said, almost every single shaila that he gets, that people think are new shailas, in fact it was a fiasco a few years ago over here, about shaitels, that there was some shaitels that had supposedly come from India, and there was chash that it was connected to some worship of Avodah Zarah. Rebelsky said, I don't understand. He said, this shaila, we paskin on this, we thought about this shaila 8 years ago. He said, almost every single shaila I get that people think are new shailas are really, really old shailas that Rabbanim who are involved in Allah have already thought about a long, long time ago. It was interesting, then Rebelsky went on and he said, this was at a conference for Hask. It was to Rabbanim and parents. Rebelsky said, but a Hask Shaila, when you're dealing with children with developmental disabilities, he said, could very well be. I have to apologize. I might have to say I don't know. In order for a person to achieve in Torah, Ramesha was insulted because people thought that these were just the final answers in the halacha. Years and years and years of preparation need to go into it. And it requires a necessary chazar. I'm not only talking about learning. I'm talking about spiritual experiences. I'm talking about the hizgailus. A person needs to spend time to internalize and think about it. Tonight is a mishmar night. Minig in yeshivas is that mishmar night, at the end of the evening, some people sit down and they sing. There's a beautiful memra of the Bala Tanya. Bala Tanya said, it's interesting, Rav Baruch Ber did not agree with this, but the Bala Tanya often liked to say that there is a nigun with words, but a nigun without words is a higher madrega. Why? Because words is the expression of human beings. Malachim, they sing. They don't sing necessarily words. They just sing pure notes. And he said, a nigun without words is a higher madrega. Rav Baruch Ber had a different tradition. The yeshivas he was machmir to sing with words. But this is a beautiful yesod in chassidus. When I was your age, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal used to like to quip. And he would say, in his inimitable style, and I say, a nigun without a nigun is the highest madrega. That was how Rav Aaron used to say it. Well, what did Rav Aaron mean? What Rav Aaron Zatzal meant was the following beautiful idea. A song could be the Shira of the Shifcha Bayan. She sees something beautiful, she bursts out in song. You had a beautiful week, you sing Tov Lo'odos Lashem. But Mashiro Shifcha Bayan, Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz taught us, the Shifcha is gebleibte Shifcha, she remained a Shifcha. He has a great experience, he sings about it, and that's it. There's another Shira that we have in the Torah. We have Shabbos Shira, and then we have Parshas Hazinu. Parshas Hazinu is not about a particular revelation. Parshas Hazinu starts out, Yarov Kamatar Lichi, Tizal Katalim Rasi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes the beautiful natural world, which parallels to the beautiful spiritual world. And those beautiful worlds are simply the rain that comes down from heavens, that awesome, beautiful miracle that waters the grass. It's also the awesome miracle Hazinu celebrates, our own history, the magic of Jewish history, the magic of our Torah, of our Mesorah. That's what Parshas Hazinu is all about. There, that's a song where the song is a nigun without a nigun. That means that a person who begins to internalize and think about all of the beautiful things in his life, he doesn't even actually need a nigun. And sometimes, if it's only expressed in a nigun, then the nigun comes and the nigun goes. What Rav Aaron was teaching us is there's a song of the soul that's even a nigun without a nigun. I found the parallel in Rav Nachman Mibreslov's words. Umishiras ha'asovim nase nigun shel alev. The song of the blades of grass, that causes the song of a person's heart. But that's only if a person begins to spend time to prepare, to reflect, to contextualize all of the beautiful spiritual experiences that we have, and eventually then we'll be able to experience every single part of our lives as God's beautiful wonder. But Rabosai, as Rav Shraga Feivel Mendelovich said to the boys in Tarvadas 70 years ago, he said again in Yiddish, Nitz oyster zeit, this is the time that you got to make the most of your time. Because if a person doesn't train themselves now to contextualize, to prepare, and to review, unfortunately we run the risk of blibing the Shifcha. Kosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya to see the beauty, the shiras ha'asavim, and the shiras ha'asavim will bring out that awesome and beautiful shira, the nigun aleph.